Blog Talk Radio.
Health, wealth, happiness, and good spirit. Today we have the honor and the pleasure to speak with Mr. Eric Martin Hicks. Eric Martin Hicks is one of the first African-American stunt and special effects coordinators, actually special effects coordinators in Hollywood. He's actually one of the only fully certified, and he's also an author, a historian, and just a really great individual. And as a historian, putting on back on his historian hat, and also as a author, today he's going to talk to us about a very significant person in history, especially in the African-American history of our nation, and also a very powerful person in the sense of, you know, all of our powerful women that we have out there, no matter what their race or their ethnicity. Anyway, he's going to talk to us about today, Stagecoach Mary. Stagecoach Mary is a very historic individual because she was one of the few women that was out there actually riding the ranges and riding stagecoaches. Her name was actually Mary Fields. But today we're going to talk to a gentleman that's going to give us more of the true and real story of a real Western hero and a Western legend. And without any further ado, let's go ahead and get this started. Also, if anybody would like to call in, if you have any questions or any comments for the show or for our guest today, please call in to 323-443-7471. Again, that's 323-443-7471. Well, without any further ado, let's get to our illustrious guest who's honoring us with his time and patience today. So, Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Zurian. How are you?
Oh, I'm always all right till I can do better. And how you saying, if I'm not doing too good, that'll change. Just takes a little time.
Always believe in the positiveness, and the positiveness will create the environment.
I totally agree with you. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show and also for sharing with us, you know, all of this information, story, and knowledge about Stagecoach Mary and the other things that you've actually done.
Well, thank you. Stagecoach Mary is a story of a woman, a black woman, African-American, by the name of Mary Fields, and she was born into slavery. However, after the emancipation, she became her own woman, working on the plantation and then becoming friends more so with the nun that she grew up with. Per se. She was born around 1830s.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, slavery was very prominent in the South. Some people say that she was born in Tennessee. Some say that she was born in Arkansas. I'm more leaning to believe that she was more born in Arkansas than Tennessee. How she became the person that she is, during the slavery days, when there was only a one child in the plantation owner's family, usually they picked a slave child, usually a house Negro, to be that child's playmate. That child became somewhat of a privileged person because not only did they have a white playmate, they also got to learn to read, write, and spell, which is how Mary learned to read, write, and spell. During the emancipation, she worked on the plantation for a little bit, and then she was asked to join her friend who she grew up with to come to the mission in Ohio. By going to the mission in Ohio, she became part of the Ursuline Nuns. And while being in Ohio, she worked for the mission there for several years. Her friend then was assigned to work in Cascade, Montana. Well, back then in that day and time, this was still Wild Willie West. Her friend went west to the Ursuline mission in Cascade, Montana. Upon being there about a year, leaving Mary behind in Ohio, her friend, her name was Dolly, became sick with pneumonia and almost died. And the reason that she didn't die was because they summoned for Mary to come help her friend, because Mary had a lot of homemade remedies that were good and that brought her friend back to life, because she was virtually dying of pneumonia in the cold winter months of Montana.
Wow, so Mary was a holistic practitioner too, huh?
You could say that. Most black slaves have any type of survival skills to them, would have been more so of a medicine type person. So from that point on, Mary went to Cascade, Montana, is where she gained her fame as becoming known as Stagecoach Mary. Stagecoach Mary Fields worked for the nunnery, helping build the mission, delivering supplies back and forth from Cascade to the mission, which was approximately 14 miles on an old dirt road back in the hills of Cascade, Montana. So going to the store was no easy task per se. It was quite an endeavor. Virtually you could die going to the store. The Indians were not really more the problem than the wilderness itself. Mary carried a shotgun and what we call a side-by-side break action. And that was one of her fortes, along with carrying a pistol under her skirt. And believe it or not, she was quite a great shot. She had taught herself during the Civil War.
Well, Mary was not to be messed with, that's for sure.
Well, she was a good person, but I wouldn't want to get on her wrong side, being 6 feet tall and over 200 pounds. And
that was a lot of women.
That was a lot of women for that day and time. A lot of stories have been written on Mary Fields, Stagecoach Mary, and I would say on the internet especially and in publication, 70% of this information is wrong, and that's one thing I would like to correct. Even though Mary Fields got the nickname Stagecoach Mary, she did not drive a stagecoach. She actually drove a buckboard, and that's how she delivered supplies and the mail in Cascade, Montana. How she got the nickname Stagecoach was because she always got the mail on time and got it through, no matter what, like a stagecoach would.
Okay.
So, contrary to belief, even if you Google her name on the computer, you'll see children's publications with this black woman whipping a whip back and a stance performance on the box, and the box is what they call on the stagecoach, whipping the whip, whip the horses into a run. And that's farther from the truth than what could be believed. However, because of her being her own woman, living in Cascade, Montana, and having to endure the wilderness all by herself, this gave her her claim to fame. What happened at the nunnery, Mary Fields was not what you call your typical type Catholic person. Therefore, some of the men, especially the white men, gave her some problems. Well, one time, which was, I believe, the time it really got her really abandoned from the mission, she was actually kicked out of the mission, is for shooting at a worker who pulled a gun on her. And so she was somewhat kicked out of the mission. And her friend, Dolly got her a job working in Cascade, Montana with a laundry. She had her own laundry. She had her own restaurant. But these things came and went. The restaurant business, because of Mary's kind heart, Mary would feed people who couldn't afford. And because she never got reimbursed, she didn't have a real, what you would call it, a business sense. Mary never really got her money back and therefore went out of business not once but twice. And her friend Dolly had to rescue her financially to bring her out of the bankruptcy, so to speak, of that day and time, of losing two restaurants. Well, after she lost the restaurant, the Pony Express, as we knew it only back in the late 1860s, was not really running like it was delivering mail. Mail was now being delivered by rail service and by messengers. So her friend Dolly got her a job delivering mail in the Cascade area, Cascade, Montana. And she did this for 8 years.
Wow, so Mary was an entrepreneur. She was running the mail. She was delivering supplies. And she was basically definitely a self, well, not necessarily self-made, but a self-driven woman, that's for sure.
Yes, she was. Yes, she was. The story was so captivating after really, I knew about Mary Fields, but never really understood Mary Fields until I read several books and have to discern through some of the folklore of Mary Fields. There are several pictures out there with Mary Fields carrying a Winchester rifle. She did not carry a Winchester rifle. She only carried a side-by-side break-action shotgun, most likely purchased from Sears and Roebuck back then, that day and time.
Wow. Wow, that's really interesting. It's amazing how people stretch the truth. Well, I'm just really glad that the story itself actually got out in any kind of form. The fact that you're making the corrections today is critical, but just the fact that that story is out there. Continue, please.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said I'm just really glad that the story is out, was out there at all, because, you know, as you know, as a historian, a lot of history gets erased. How you say, the story or the version of the truth goes to the victor. And in this case, I'm just glad that the story got out there. And I said I'm really thankful to people like yourself that are going out there and getting the real story and then making those corrections, so that when our youth tell the story, or as we tell the story to our youth, we're telling them the correct story.
Well, the problem is that our stories have never been told per se. They have been askew or swept into the carpet. After reading about Mary Fields and understanding the adversities that she had to go through, I decided to write an epic feature. And your listeners can go to stagecoachmary.net and look at all the information that I have acquired on Mary Fields to actually write the epic story, Stagecoach Mary.
Very cool, very cool. And you have another book out, too, that actually talks about African-Americans and and that history as we fought back when the Buffalo Soldiers were out.
Yes, my other book entitled Rescue at Pine Ridge, Rescue of the Famed 7th Cavalry by the 9th Cavalry Buffalo Soldiers. Another story that virtually was swept under the carpets and never talked about or looked at until I decided to put this story out there. and hopefully now it is, not hopefully, it is capturing the attention of a lot of people around the world. Right now, that book has got 5 stars Amazon internationally, Germany, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and America. Just receiving another 5 stars on Barnes & Noble the other day.
Outstanding, outstanding. And again, ladies and gentlemen, we also hope that you not only listen to the show, but that you also go ahead out there and get some of the other supporting information so that you can become more well-read on, again, especially for African-Americans, but for any Americans, for your overall history, because that history is crucial. And unfortunately, what a lot of people don't realize is that if we don't learn our history, a lot of times we're subject to repeat it. And a lot of times that repeating of our history is the wrong history that we don't want to repeat. It's not the good things, it's the bad things. So all of us need to become a student of history. Also, the information that we were just talking about, there's another show that we actually did on Pine Ridge, and there's also another, and there's also this one, and the information that he was talking about for Stagecoach Mary is also listed at the bottom of the page. So please go on there and check it. But anyway, go ahead and tell us more, Mr. Hicks, about Stagecoach Mary.
After she lost the restaurant, Mother Amadeus, and that's Dolly, the Catholic term for her entitlement is Mother Amadeus. And Mother Amadeus got her a job, as I said, carrying the mail throughout the Cascade area. Well, that lasted for 8 years that she actually delivered the mail, and she delivered it well up into her early 70s. She was about 70 years old, still running around the Wild West on a buckboard with her mule, Moses. And she claimed quite a fame to that. After having her mail route, she then went back to Cascade and actually started a laundry business. She was one of the only women that was allowed to go into the saloon and drink whiskey with the men, by the way.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot about her that is really intriguing, especially right after slavery, where she went right after she left the plantation. And this part I have to kind of leave out of our talk and discussion today, because this part is virtually top secret until we actually make the movie, because nobody knows where Mary Fields went right after the emancipation. But this is something that was very intriguing to me once I found it out. And after I found that out, I went, this story has to be told, especially with the type of information that is out there. You always hear about Calamity Jane and the bad girls of that day and time. Well, right. Calamity Jane came up against Mary Fields, I have a feeling Calamity Jane would have been running the other way.
I'm kind of thinking the same thing, sir. I'm kind of thinking the same thing.
She got into a fight one time in the middle of the street in Cascade with a man that didn't pay his laundry bill. And it had his shirt on. It had been promised him to pay his bill. Well, he didn't pay the bill. She met him out in the middle of the street, and Mary had a great reputation. She was known to knock someone out with one punch. One punch. Remember, this woman was 200 pounds, 6 feet tall. She knocked out this guy. And she turned to the crowd in the saloon as she went back in and said, his bill has been paid.
She took the pay out of the person's hide.
Yes, sir. Quite an enduring woman there. This is a story like this. My rescue at Pine Ridge, Bass Reeves, U.S. Deputy Marshal, the Triple Nichols. All these type of stories are heroine stories, hero stories, that we as African people really never heard or even talked about. These are what we call uplifting stories, not only for African Americans, but for all Americans, because this is our story as Americans. If we didn't have these type of stories, we wouldn't have no history. Well, how do you keep your history from being spoken about is that you never speak about it, and that's virtually what has been happening today. And that's why I turned Mary Field, Stagecoach Mary, into the epic story, Stagecoach Mary, to be filmed hopefully soon here in another year or two.
Very cool. Very commendable that you're going out there and pushing to do this. And again, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get out there and support, you know, people like Mr. Hicks that are actually going out there and helping us to relive our lives. Because for a lot of African Americans, your history is lost. You know, it was lost on slave ships, all of the above. And I'm not saying be bitter because of that, but what I am saying is what you can acquire, what you can learn, you need to pull that in and nurture it and share it with the young people around you. Please go ahead, Mr. Hicks, because we can go all day on this part.
Yes, sir. Virtually what has happened is that these type of stories never were told and have virtually gone astray and collecting dust. There's a story that I always, when I tell these stories, I always give this scenario. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wrote a book on the 761st back in the late 70s, middle 70s. From that sparked two different screenplays that I knew of. One was sitting at Warner Brothers, and the other one is sitting in Morgan Freeman's hands. Well, I had decided or thought about writing a movie on the 761st, but why reinvent the wheel when two powerhouses, such as the names I just mentioned, had a screenplay already? Well, the problem is that it's been almost 30 years now, excuse me, since these scripts were developed, and we have yet seen the movie on Kareem's book called Brothers in Arms. That's on Patton's Army. If you saw the movie, Patton, I'm sure, Zorian.
Yes.
And in that movie, you only saw one African-American, and he played the role of an attaché to George C. Scott playing Patton.
Yes, sir.
Well, if you reverse all those roles and put a white guy as being the attaché and the black guys in the tanks, that would be the correct way history should have been shown in that point in day and time when the movie Patton was made. Now, to give you an idea, I'm not stepping away from Stagecoach Mary, but just to give you the idea of what these stories are up against. The reason when George C. Scott walked out on that stage and they did not turn the camera around was either they would have had to tell a lie big time or tell the truth. Because George C. Patton, when he stood in front of that big American flag saying, "You make that other SOB die for his country, you don't die for yours. You kick him in the butt and kick him in the rear." He was talking to the 761st, all color pink core.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So with that being said, that's what my story, Stagecoach Mary, Triple Nichols, Rescue at Pine Ridge, Bass Reeves, U.S. Deputy Marshal, that's what they're up against. They're up against the lies and the misconceptions that have already been traded and trouted out there to where now when you hear the truth, will the truth be accepted? In other words, if you're so full of the lies, you can't accept the truth because of the lies you're full of.
I totally understand.
So going back to Mary Fields, she was so beloved in her town of Cascade, Montana. They celebrate her birthday every day in March. Every year, I should say. They celebrate her birthday. If everybody goes to the website, you'll see even that someone puts flowers on her grave. I'm not sure how many times in the year, but someone puts flowers on her grave. and that's over almost 100 years ago that she died, 1914.
Wow.
She was even the mascot of the baseball team that was established in Cascade, Montana, called the Cascade, Cascade baseball team. I forgot their actual name.
Okay.
She even babysitted Mr. Cooper, the actor.
Gary Cooper,
yes, sir.
Because
Gary Cooper grew up in Montana, and she also did the babysitting for a lot of the family.
I say, you knew your kid was safe.
Say again?
I said, you knew your child was safe.
Yes, sir. Now, nothing was going to happen to those children because she virtually took very good care of the people around her. She took care of the children that she was entrusted to her care. And
wow.
She loved her mission and the nuns of the Ursula nuns.
Very, very cool. Well, we have some guests in the chat room, and I would like for one of them or any one of them to call in if they have any questions or comments for you. But if they don't, we're going to just keep on rolling. We've got about 3 minutes left, and we're also welcome to any feedback that anybody would like to share. Please continue telling us all this great history.
Yes, sir. I'm hoping that there would be a question or two that would come up because I'm always willing to ask, and if I don't know, I will go find out the answer for them.
No problem. However, we're going to give them as much as they can, and they also have your contact information on the show, so we'll just keep it rolling.
Yes. There were a lot of illustrations drawn up regarding Mary. One was in the Negro Digest of 1950. Another was in Ebony Magazine, 1948, which it really talked about Gary Cooper. But even in that article of in Ebony Magazine, they got some of the information wrong. But that's what I did. I had to, in order to make a somewhat of a factual story, not a biography, but a factual, fictionalized story, I had to go and sift out where the truths were and elaborate on the truths as best as possible. One time, Mary raised chickens at the mission. One time, a skunk had gotten into the chicken coop and killed all the chickens. Well, she killed the skunk. And she brought the polecat, as they were called then, back to the bishop that was at the mission at the time and was complaining to the mission, bishop at the time, how this varmint had killed all of her chickens. And therefore, you can imagine what everybody was doing at that point in time. Everybody was scurrying the heck out of there.
Wow.
Yes, sir. Yeah, she was quite a woman.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Amazing. It's amazing. And again,
you know, everybody can go on stagecoachmary.net and read the fantastic information, and we'll keep watching that page because that's where I will post the information regarding the upcoming movie. Also, my other movie that we're going to make on my novel of the Buffalo Soldiers, Rescue at Pine Ridge. And you can go to the website, rescueatpineridge.com, or either go to Amazon and type in the title and read some of the great reviews that have been given to this fabulous novel.
Well, again, as always, Mr. Hicks, I want to thank you for your time, your patience, all of your dedicated service, and the fact that you were kind enough to come on the show and share all of this information with us. Again, I also ask everybody to please go out there and support what's going on. You know what I mean? If you're not willing to do the work like Mr. Hicks is, then we need to support people that are willing to do the work because it's our history. And it doesn't matter what your color or ethnicity or any of that stuff is. This is, if you're an American, if you're a historian, this is your history. Mr. Hicks, is there anything else you want to add before we go? We've got like a couple of seconds left.
No, everybody, please do, as Zurian asked, please support. This takes a lot of endeavor, and the more I see people that are patting me on the back, the more gusto I have to keep this stories coming out.
All right. Thank you very much, and it's always a pleasure. Look forward to the next time.
Looking forward to the next one, Zuri.
All right. You take care. Be well. Good luck with that that next thing you got going on.
Yeah, I'm going out.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that was Mr. James Hicks. What did I say, James Hicks? I'm sorry, that was Mr. Hicks. And he is, again, an author. He is actually one of the first and only fully certified special effects coordinators in Hollywood. He's got two books out. One is Stagecoach Mary, and the other one is the one about Pine Ridge, which was the Buffalo Soldiers. Great individual, great person to talk to, and I really thank him for his time and patience. As always, I want to thank everybody for listening today and also know that we truly appreciate it. We're slowly, slowly growing. We're getting close to 20,000 people that have actually listened to our show and viewed us on Blog Talk, and that's really an honor. So thank you all for listening, and thank you for continuing to support the show. We appreciate it. This is Zurian of the Zurian Show. Take care, be well, and have a great life and day.